Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
No, no martinis today. That's way too soft for what we need at this particular lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. And obviously, the story we're all anticipating today is a story that we're going to talk about here for the next few minutes, and that is the Supreme Court's decision on the constitutionality of the president's health care plan. It violates the Commerce Clause, and for a minute we thought that the individual mandate was going down. But then Chief Justice John Roberts, of all people, sides with the four libs on the court, Jim, and decides that despite the fierce protestations of all supporters of the legislation that it is not a tax if you fail to buy health insurance, that it is a tax, and Congress can do that without impunity, and therefore the mandate stands. I think you have a lot of people stunned that the mandate is alive, and even more stunned at who the fifth vote was.
Yeah, this is a straight to the cheap whiskey day, Greg. This is not a free martini day. There's a certain argument that there will be certain benefits to conservatism, to the Republican Party, to Mitt Romney. As we speak, Mitt Romney is making the argument that if you want to get rid of Obamacare, you have to get rid of President Obama. And so certainly no more problems of energizing the grassroots GOP. Looking more specifically at this decision, I understand George Will and a couple other folks are arguing that this is actually very useful and it'll have interesting ramifications for arguing that the, you know, Commerce Clause is not infinite and that it does not authorize Congress to do whatever it wants. But having said that, in the end, what the Supreme Court's primary objection to it was the Obama administration and all the allies in Congress saying that the fee for not having health insurance was not a tax. So basically what they attempted to kind of slap them on the wrist for was rhetorical dishonesty. Basically, as long as you came out and called it a tax, there'd be no problem here. So from here on forward, it's just going to be called a tax. And it says that, you know, Congress does have the authority to institute a tax on people who don't have health insurance, which means, you know, is that, to use the metaphor often cited in these legal arguments, they could theoretically tax people who don't eat broccoli, arguing that it's in the national interest to have everyone eat broccoli. So could this end up electing President Romney and have serious benefits for the GOP and for conservatism? Sure. But this is frustrating. And Roberts being the decision is really, really surprising. I've heard a lot of folks arguing that this is Roberts trying to preserve the reputation of the court. I have enough respect for John Roberts to believe that his opinion is what he genuinely thinks. I don't think he did this with an eye on opinion polls or how the legal community would see him or anything like that. I just, very frustrating interpretation of things.
So if you're scoring at home, kids, the government can't force you to have health insurance, but they can tax you for not having something they can't force you to have. So enjoy that little nugget of logic.
Yeah, that's a very good way of kind of summarizing it, which is that basically the Supreme Court ramification was, as long as you use the tax code as your instrument of manipulation, Congress can reward or punish whatever behavior they like. And if you don't see all kinds of unnerving ramifications coming from this, I think you're way too warm and fuzzy about government. You couple this and the Bloomberg decision on big sodas, and you get an idea of what of where we are headed. Unless you get either a Republican House and a Republican Senate, which, by the way, could pass a budget that would end up basically taking out all the financing to enforce any of Obamacare. And for that, you wouldn't even necessarily need the presidency, although I think, you know, you'd probably end up with a debt ceiling style showdown, you know, for those types of circumstances. And Obama might just take whatever money was appropriated and then try to get the folks to do it. Or if you have President Romney, you may not even need a Republican Senate. At that point, his Health and Human Services Secretary could then start giving exemptions, the kind that the Obama administration was passing out like a Pez dispenser, to businesses in Nancy Pelosi's district. Basically, the Romney administration could say, we will give anybody who wants an exemption from this this bill an exemption, because the Health and Human Services Secretary has that authority under the bill. And then the other thing they could do was just say, well, we're instructing the Attorney General to not prosecute anyone for failing to pay the Obamacare tax, which, in light of the way the Obama administration approaches immigration in Arizona, I found that kind of a really intriguing bit of irony. All in all, the best thing, though, I think would be just to elect a Republican president, elect a Republican Senate, elect a Republican House, and repeal the whole thing and start over with a bill that would include tort reform and all the other serious reforms that conservatives never got to enact when, you know, Obamacare was being passed.
Our gun is not empty, but we are low on bullets. I know we're not supposed to use those types of analogies anymore, Jim, but Election Day really is our last best chance to really do something serious before this calamity hits us in a year and a half.
Before this, you know, taxation battle station is fully operational, to quote one of my favorite movies. You know, one of the things that's worth noting, Greg, I mean, while this court case was going through, but I want to salute the Randy Barnetts and all the folks who had, you know, brought this legal challenge when everybody said there was absolutely no, you know, chance that any court would take this challenge seriously. Clearly, the Supreme Court takes this challenge very seriously, and you had four votes, including
Justice Kennedy,
who were ready to throw out all of Obamacare, saying that the entire legislation struck them as unconstitutional. It was Roberts' interpretation of things that was very surprising. You've heard lots of people quoting the Godfather. I never thought it was you, Roberts. You know, that kind of people are really stunned by this. This is a serious legal challenge that I think everyone involved with deserves a pat on the back for good hard work. You know, even though it doesn't turn out the way you want it, doesn't mean the effort wasn't very, very valid. There's a part of me that feels like, look, this monstrosity was passed legislatively. In a way, I don't know if I wanted a 5-4 majority of the court to save the American people from their old bad judgment. Look, as soon as the country elected President Obama and a big Senate, you know, majority for Democrats and a big House majority for Democrats, something akin to Obamacare was pretty much guaranteed to happen. And so if the country is mad as heck over Obamacare, well, this is what you get for electing Obama. You really shouldn't be that surprised by all this. And so a giant, terrible mistake in the legislative arena is probably best fixed in the legislative arena. And, you know, the judicial option is that road is closed to us now. So as Bill Clinton said during a key moment of the Lewinsky scandal, we're just going to have to win then.
So there you have it. The man who, when he was campaigning, was aghast at the idea of an individual mandate, and before it was passed, insisted it was not a tax, wins today because the mandate survives as a tax. And so you get that going for you. The supposed silver lining here, mild silver lining, is the ruling on the Medicaid expansion. It is constitutional to expand Medicaid to pay for the additional people coming on. However, the government cannot punitively punish states for refusing to be part of the Medicaid expansion. Jim, call me cynical, but I have a pretty good feeling that if this administration stays in power beyond this next few months, that they're going to find a way to do that.
I completely agree, Greg. I just want to observe, you know, some days President Obama is one lucky son of a gun, isn't he?
Yes. Yes, indeed. This is a dark day in the history of this podcast, but hopefully we will have at least hope down the road here as we get closer to Election Day and beyond. And as Congressman David Schweikert of Arizona said, the Supreme Court today took us back in time to 2010, when the Tea Party was at its fiercest as a result of its opposition to this. And, well, I guess we'll see if the same ferocity emerges as we get closer to November. Let's hope so.
You know, Greg, just one final thought. You know who's having a worse day than us today?
Who's that?
Eric Holder.
Yes, we
could
do.
Could be worse.
We do have that silver lining. So, but I'm sure at least for now he's chuckling in the recesses of the White House as well. So, Jim, order another scotch on me, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Friday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.